Well, I grew up in Santa Ana, okay, and was born and raised here, I don't know, maybe 5-7 minutes down the street. And I say a lot, so sorry. And my mom and dad, they divorced when I was 10, okay? And that was very devastating to me. I didn't know how devastating it was at the time, but, you know, I learned quickly how bad that was, especially because my mom was not a believer, you know, so she had, you can just imagine how lost she was and how she, you know, my mom and dad, both. So they didn't have Jesus in their lives, and that's a big difference, you know, a big difference. That's the major difference in our lives is Jesus. And so I didn't have that. My mom, she was also an alcoholic, so she was drinking. She started drinking even more when my dad and her separated. She couldn't forgive him for just cheating on her and, you know, I guess, I don't know, for not being that husband, that good husband, godly husband. How could he be a godly husband if he didn't have God, right? I mean, so at age 14, I remember I ran away from home. And, you know, I see some young girls in here tonight, you know, and it's in Proverbs, it tells us in the Bible that to choose our friends wisely, you know, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know about that. All I knew is, you know, my mom would be, she didn't like my friends, and I don't understand why, you know. It's like, but I ran away with some friends of mine, and at that time, that's all, they were my friends. I thought they were my friends, and so I ran away with them because they were running away. And I thought it was a good idea to run away with them because they came from a bad family and they didn't have any friends to go to. So there I am. Okay, look at how just, oh my gosh, how insane. But there I was, the people pleaser, you know, that I am. And called my mom, I remember that night, and I told her, you know, I'm going to be running away. And because my friends, they need somewhere to go. And, you know, and I took them to my one of my best friends that I had grew up with. And I took them to their house. And, of course, that mom called the police. They called my mom. And here comes my mom with the police to come and get me. And I was so mad. I was mad that she, how dare she come and get me, you know. And right there, you know, I'll always remember this because, you know, my friend's mother, like, they weren't there. She wasn't there to come and get her. And it just, like, there was a moment of clarity right there. I thought, like, that's sad, you know. And but I went home and I ran away again. You know, I ran away again. I was this rebellious teenager. And, yeah, my mom, she was drinking. She couldn't handle me, you know. It was, and I talked her into taking me out of school and putting me in a continuation school because, you know, I told her that's the way to go. And it wasn't true, you know. I was going because the girls that I was hanging out with, they were doing that, you know. And I remember I was like one of the youngest ones in the crowd, you know, and just kept hanging out with them. And eventually, you know, it's like you start doing the same things that they're doing. And when I ran away, one of those times we had gone and we had ran into some, some older boys, right? And we went to, I remember going to their house, and they were doing drugs, drinking, and I told my friends, like, don't do that. Drugs are bad. Don't do that. If you do that, I'm not going to be your friend, you know? And they were like, shut up, you know? And but I remember that, and I was like, wow, you know, I knew that I was in a dangerous place, yet I still stayed there with them, being scared, but I still stayed. And, well, eventually Eventually, going back a little bit, my mom being an alcoholic and having beer at the house all the time, you know, she'd send me to go get her the beer from the refrigerator, and I'd ask her if I could take a sip. And she'd say, yeah, you know, go ahead. And so I'd take a sip, put the whatever, you know, and I would do that. And, you know, she'd let me light her cigarette. And I thought, I mean, now I go, oh my gosh, so crazy. Like, I would never let my kids do that, you know. But she, you know, she was blind again. She did not have Jesus, you know. A couple of those times we'd go to the weekend parties and I'd be drinking the beer, you know, and throwing up, just getting sick. And still kept on. I remember drinking, you know, my first, when I was, I really like remember after I left, like when I was 14, no, 16, I think, 14 or 16, but being out on the street and just having older people buy the alcohol, you know, because we were underage and there's a lot of people that will buy the alcohol for you, you know, and just drinking and getting drunk. Off Strawberry Hills. I don't know if, you know, any of you guys are familiar with that, but it's like a really just cheap, nasty little wine. And, you know, getting drunk off of that, throwing up, and then just, okay, doing it again. And kept on doing it. You know, eventually I started doing drugs also, you know, you start with a little bit, a little beer, a little cigarette, you know, all this stuff. And then eventually it just got I was deep into alcohol and drugs, and dropped out of school. And my whole life was just, it just revolved around those maybe 10 girls that I was hanging out with. That's all, you know, and going out and, you know, just causing havoc. And remember the pain that I caused my mom, you know, having encounters with the police, them bringing me home intoxicated. Not anything fun. So my life just spiraled down very quickly. And I just remember one day I was in my room and I remember just getting on my knees and asking God, because by that time, like, the hole in my heart was just so big that I could not, you know, I felt so miserable, just sick, you know, physically sick, emotionally sick. I couldn't. And I was, I think I was 21 at that age. And I was at my mom's house in my room. And I just got on my knees and I prayed. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know about God or anything, you know, but I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, God, help me, you know, help me to stop doing this. Help me, please. Because I couldn't do it. And by that time, I was already seeing a counselor, you know, and outpatient treatment. And this lady was telling me that if I couldn't stay clean and sober, that she was going to put me in jail. And I thought at that, I was like, you know what? You're the adult. You're the counselor. Do whatever you think is good for me. Because obviously, I don't know what to do. And she said, well, you know, why don't you go into a recovery home? I thought, recovery home? That's for crazy people. I'm not going to go in a recovery home. What are my friends going to think? Oh, my gosh. I'm really bad. You know, and I remember just that embarrassment. I was so ashamed. And, you know, being ashamed of the things I was doing, right? And crazy. And, I said, okay, well, if that's what you think I should do, go ahead. And she goes, oh, no, it's voluntarily. You have to call. I was like, I have to call? Like, you know, I'm like, okay. So I remember calling, and I had to get on this waiting list, and the lady's on the other line. She's like, do you think you could not drink, you know, for a week? I'm like, yeah, I could do it. No, I couldn't, you know. But, you know, this is just how good our God is. You know, he, on my 21st birthday, which was March 3rd, 1995, I got a call from this woman at this home. And she said, we have a bed for you. Can you come in today? And I thought, it's my birthday. I'm not going to come in today. It's my birthday. Every birthday that I have, I get drunk, you know? But at that moment, it wasn't exciting for me to be alive anymore. It wasn't exciting for me to, you know, celebrate a birthday again. Here comes when I told her yes, I would go, right? Well, here comes one of the girls that I was hanging out with knocking on the door telling me, can you please come with me to go and get some drugs? You know, I said, I can't go with you. I can't. And she's like, please just come with me. She goes, you don't even have to get off the car. Just take me. I go, I can't. You have to go. I can't. And thank God, that was just the Lord right there saving me, because she ended up leaving, you know, and I was so nervous. I just knew I needed to, Mom, please just take me, just take me. And she drove me out there. And when I got there, you know, I was so scared. But I was like, that was, and then the next day, you know, I was sober. I was like, wow, you know, still just so scared. I didn't know any other life than what the life that I knew. That's it. And so this was all new to me, you know. It was weird. Like, they had, you know, fruit, like a bowl of fruit, you know. And I thought, I didn't even have that in my house, you know. I was like, what's that? And then they're like, oh, and you can eat anything you want. And, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is just really weird. And so, you know, of course, my head was just playing tricks on me. You know, I was thinking that there were the cops and just this crazy stuff in my head, right? Because that's what alcohol and drugs, you know, they do to you. They kills your brain cells. And by the grace of God, he has restored me, you know. Probably thinking, yeah, right. No, for those of you that know me, no. No, but he has. And it was on my 21st birthday. I got, you know, clean and sober, and they started taking me to meetings, you know, AA meetings, NA meetings, all this stuff, whatever. And I didn't know any of that, so I was just doing what they were telling me to do. And when I graduated that home, I managed to still stay sober, you know, without alcohol. But you can imagine, I had gone to church. And one of my neighbors, actually, I'm kind of just jumping all over the place, but one of my neighbors had invited me to church, this little church in Santa Ana. And it was a Christian church, and I went there with her, I remember, because she was the neighbor that I used to just, you know, she used to take care of me and when I was just too drunk. And she took me to church, and that was the first time that I had ever heard about Jesus. And I thought, they did an altar call. There I go. You know, it's like I went, and I was the first time I had heard that your sins could be forgiven, you know. And I thought, Jesus loves me, and just all this stuff. And I thought, wow, I want that. And I went. I remember it was an altar call, and I went up, and I said the sinner's prayer. I received Jesus in my heart, right? Well, I didn't grow. So I stayed sober, but I didn't grow in the Lord. You know, I didn't grow in the Lord. I didn't go to church like on a regular basis. I didn't get, you know, fellowship with the women. I didn't read my Bible, that's for sure. You know, I was just going to church on Sundays and feeling good. And it wasn't a church that taught the Bible either, verse by verse. So that's really important, you know. And I met my husband. I'm going to just kind of fast forward, but I met my husband, got married. I felt like I was just, you know, getting blessed left and right, right? Because I was like, wow, you know, I'm sober and look at all these good things that are coming into my life, you know, things that I had never imagined of having. You know, I got a good job, just all this good stuff, right? Well, but I was still selfish. I was still lost. I was still just, you know, I don't know. There's just a lot. So what happened is that the storms started coming into my life, right? Because we get them, trials, right? Little things, big things, anything. So you can imagine I was newly sober, got married right away, okay? Crazy, you know? And, well, all the problems that come and, you know, I didn't know how to be myself and, you know, let alone be a wife to this guy. So I was real crazy, jealous, just, ooh. And, oh my goodness, poor guy. But, and that's still my husband today, okay? But I'm not that same woman. And the Lord has restored me. And so just all the just the craziness that comes when you're not walking with the Lord, you know. I knew about him, and I would go to church here and there, you know. And then I had a son. We had our first son, and by this time, I think my son was like 4. Well, I felt miserable again. I felt, because, you know, I didn't have Jesus in my life. I wasn't living for him, living with him, knowing about him, growing in him. I was just, you know, so I started thinking that the problem was my husband. He's not romantic enough. You know, he's the problem. And I'm still young, and I don't think that I deserve this. I need to, you know, leave because, you know, he's just not being a good husband. He's not filling all those needs that I have. It was crazy. And my husband, he's a believer, and he was a believer then too when I met him. And so he would always tell me this, you know, Lucretia, I cannot fill that hole that you have in your heart. And I'd say, he's all, only Jesus can fill that hole. He'd tell me that all the time. And I'd say, yeah, right, you're just using that as an excuse to, you know, not do what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm feeling like this because of you. And so nobody can get me out of that because I was just so prideful and just lost and blind. So, just the pride, you know, I thought, I don't need you, you know, and I share this because, you know, I've met women, you know, along the line that have said, you know, they were like where I was at, and just me thinking, I don't need a man, I can do this, I have a good job, you know, Yeah, my kids don't even need you. And, you know, everything we have, it's because I've worked and he worked too, you know, but it was just, oh, so just, so crazy. And so I left him and I went back to my mom's house and with my son. Well, here comes this old girlfriend of mine from back in the days. And, you know, I started hanging out with her again. Well, you know what happened, right? So it's, I ended up going out. She's like, oh, let's go, you know, let's go dancing. And I thought, yeah, cause I haven't been dancing in so long. Cause he's never taken me out dancing. And, oh, he was just a bad man, right? And so there I go dancing with her thinking, I'm just going to go dance and hanging out there over and over and over again. And one day, you know, because they were drinking, and I was over there, well, I don't drink, I've been sober for 8 years now, you know, I don't drink. And kept going and going. Eventually I ordered that beer again and I drank it, consciously knowing that, you know, And I knew, and I remember drinking it, and I thought, oh my gosh, like, what did I do? Well, I'm not the girl that can just drink one beer and put it down, you know, especially with that hole in my heart. I was like, I needed to fill this up, you know, thinking that that's going to cure it. Well, I drank, and I remember just ordering that beer, and I kept drinking. I kept drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, and I drank. And by this time, I had filed for divorce already, you know. And I just, my life was, I was so lost. I was so lost. And you know, it came to the point where I couldn't stop. I mean, I couldn't. I already knew, but not the love of my family, the love of my husband, the love of my son. Nothing mattered. I couldn't, and I didn't want to. And I just thought that if I just, you know, kept on drinking and just I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't feel the pain, but it wouldn't cover it. I still felt the pain of what the wreckage that I was doing, how I was living. And so, by the grace of God, you know, there he goes, you know, he's just so merciful, you know. I just thank you, Lord. In 2004, because I drank again in 2003, so in 2004, I went to rehab again. Well, this time I had a son. This time I had already caused a lot more damage than I had the first time. And, you know, through the whole time that I was married, I thought that my husband needed to fill that void in me. You know, I thought he needed to love me. He needed to make me feel good. And that's a lie. That's not true. Only Jesus can fill this void. So when I went into rehab again in 2004, you know, by this time I wasn't in my sound mind. I could not take care of myself. I could not take care of my child. You know, I wanted to end my life. You know, my husband had to hospitalize me, you know. And when I came to and I woke up, I was, you know, at St. Joseph. You know, they have a place there for us, you know. And I went and, you know, I don't remember, but he says that I wanted to cut my veins, you know. And I was, I don't know, I don't think I wanted to die, but the way I was living, obviously, you know. So, so when he hospitalized me, I was in there. I remember just coming to, and then them giving me like little pills, you know. And I was like, where am I? What's going on? And I remember calling my husband, you know, because I still, through the whole time, I was like still seeing him and, you know, all that. And so I called him and I said, where am I? And he was working. He couldn't take care of me, you know. It was crazy. And so he said, you know, I had to take you there. And I go, come and get me out. Get me out. Please get me out. And he says, no, I'm not going to come and get you. I was like, please, please. I begged him to please come and get me. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever. He goes, if you'll do whatever I want. He goes, then I want you to go into rehab. I go, okay, I'll do it. I don't really want to do it, you know? And so I got out and started drinking again, you know? Just, I was at home trying to find some change on just, you know, oh, it was just, you know, I had no money. He didn't leave me no money or anything. And so I was like just trying to look for some money to get me some alcohol. But, and he's like, okay, this is it. And so even though I was drinking, like, he's like, I knew that I needed to go into treatment. You know, I tried outpatient. It didn't work for me. I couldn't do it. You know, as soon as they let me out, I'd go drink. I'd run into people that I was hanging out with. And then the temptation and, oh, forget it. I said, just lock me up or whatever. And so, but I went into treatment. I went into a treatment center, and I was able to take my son with me. I was pregnant by this time again, and I was able to take my son with me. And so I thought, okay, let's go. And, you know, I thank God for, you know, for homes that, you know, for with mothers and children and stuff like that, that are available. But, so I went in there with my son, and, this was in, December of 2004. So, it was just like the best thing that could ever happen to me all over again. Because I remember when I was 21 and I thought, wow, what a gift. On my birthday, like, you know, he gave me my life. Like, I was reborn, right? And so, again, you know, in 2004, there I go. And so this was out in Whittier, and this pastor used to go there and take us to church. So I started going to church. I'm like, okay. You know, I already knew that, like, I was like, I do not want to drink again. What do I need to do? And I need to do things differently this time because, oh, my gosh, if I drink again, I'm going to die, you know, and what do I do? And so there I started going to church with this pastor that used to pick us up. You know, I just gave my life to the Lord again. And anytime there was an altar call, there I was. You know, I was like, I don't care how many times I need to do this. I don't know. I don't know if it was, you know, like, I didn't know anything. So I just was like, I'm going to go up. I don't care. So then I was so scared when I left that recovery home. I didn't want to go home because I thought, what if I drink again? Like, I was still scared. And so I just, my foundation was still kind of shaky. I didn't trust myself, you know, and, so I went into this, like transitional housing, and, just seeing the hand of the Lord, just like how he just took care of me. He provided this place for me and my son, you know, that I had my own room with him in this, like, just really nice place in Anaheim. I didn't even think these places existed. I go, oh, my gosh. Because I was searching around for a sober living and thinking, you know, I called all these places and you'd have to go live, like, in a house, but, like, with six other women and their children. You know, and you get a bunk bed. And that's when I was like, well, I'm willing to go to any lengths and, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. And so, you know, but the Lord just blessed me with this other place. And I went there, and gradually I started going back home, you know, going back home on passes, you know. And I got to share this real quick. When I was in this, in 2004, when I was in this recovery home, So I got dropped off there, right, said goodbye to my husband, and I was filing for divorce, everything was there and all that. So I thought, okay, like, is he going to leave me? What's going to happen? I didn't know, you know, but I was like, I couldn't worry about that. And I left, and I remember being there. You had no contact, no phone, no nothing. And because he was my husband, the counselor was, like, trying to make exceptions, telling me, here's my cell phone, call him. And I was, here, you can call your husband. I said, no, I can't. I can't, because that was my first time in my life that I knew that I needed to know that I was going to be okay, that God was going to take care of me, that it was just going to be me and the Lord. And if he was there after, it was going to be fine, but I couldn't make him my God. I couldn't, you know, I was going to be okay, whether or not with or without him. My foundation couldn't be based on him. And that was so scary. It was so scary. And I remember putting up all these prayers on my wall in my room. And whenever I would feel, you know, the anxiety, my heart pumping, thinking, because anxiety, like when my heart was pumping, I kind of related that feeling to when I was drinking. So I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to drink, you know. But it wasn't that. It was just You know, and I believe that it was Satan just telling, you know, tempting me. But I would go to my room and I'd get on my knees and I would just pray. I would just pray the Lord's Prayer, and I'd pray the, you know, as I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, you know, and I'd call out to Satan, just say, you know, you don't belong here. In the name of Jesus, you need to leave. And, you know, I didn't know anything, you know, so I was like, okay. And, so I, fast forward a little bit. I started going to, came back home, you know, and the Lord restored our marriage. You know, he is just, there's a verse, in the Bible that says, in Joel 2:25, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, you know. And I started learning from the Bible coming here, okay? So I was going to MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, you know, this group of moms, right? Well, it was, I didn't know that they were Christian. You know, I just started going, and thank God that they were. And one of the ladies there, she's like, yeah, you know, there's a women's Bible study in Costa Mesa. And I go, well, at that same time, during that time of my life, you know, I was going to church, but I was, I wanted more. I wanted more. And I thought I needed to get my, you know, my son plugged in to know about the Lord, you know, and my husband and all of us. And so I remember Googling stuff like churches around here, you know, because I live 7 minutes away, right, on Fairview over there. And one of the ladies told me that it was here. And so I called and I said, you know, when's the Bible study? They told me it was on Friday. Said, they have childcare. And I was like, how much is that? And then they're like, oh, it's free. I'm like, really? Wow. Okay. So, and I had, well, my older son, we have two boys, but my older son was 5, 6. He was already in school, but my little one was like a year and a half, right? So there I come bringing him here. And I was scared. I was so scared. So, never been into a Bible study. I didn't even know Bible studies. What is that? You know, never really opened the Bible or anything like that. And I would just go to church on Sunday and hear what the pastor said. And, you know, it wasn't a church that was going verse by verse. So I will feel good, you know. And but I knew that I needed more, like there was more to it. And so I started coming here, and I remember the first day that I walked in, I was so scared. And Satan was just like, you don't belong here, you know. I was like, nope, I'm just going to sit there, and I don't care, you know. I was sitting back there, and I came in, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's Friday morning, you know, Joyful Life. So I was like judging. I was like, oh my gosh, all these ladies, they're like, you know, white, first of all. Second of all, you know, they're rich, you know. Oh my gosh, look at their purses, look at their, you know, that's what I was looking at. And I just thought, oh, I don't belong here. This is just not the church for me. And so I sat back there, and you know what? The Lord meets us right where we're at. He is just so tender, so good, okay? So who's sharing up here their testimony? My friend Terry, okay? Terry Calderon, okay? And she's sharing up here that she's an alcoholic, that she was a drug addict, and that she's been saved and all this stuff, and she's the leader of one of the groups. I thought, oh my gosh, if she's saying all that, then I'm okay. I'm in the right place, you know? And, you know, that was for me, though. That was like a special little, you know, just a hug, like, you're right where you're supposed to be, and you don't be afraid. And, you know, I went up to her. I said, you know what, I'm also in recovery, you know, and can I get your phone number? you know, and she gave me her phone number and she became, you know, my first friend here. And started hanging out with her. And then I went into a group with my friend Jackie Rogers. You probably know her. And went in with Jackie Rogers. And, you know, they give you the homework. I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this, right? Well, but I started opening up the Bible, started reading the Bible, taking notes. I started reading because you hear, you know, read the Gospels. Started reading the Gospels, you know. Started, it got to Acts, and it kind of got like, oh, my gosh, I don't understand what they're talking about. But I would make notes because I knew, I was like, no, I need to make notes, and then I will ask somebody. You know, there's somebody that's got to, you know, you got to know. So I'm going to ask you. And stayed in Jackie's group for a couple of years, you know, and was also going to Terry's group at night on Thursday nights, you know. And that was the only group that I felt safe to share at was just, I don't know, you know, thinking that it was, I was just amongst people that were open about where they came from and stuff like that. And then the Friday morning group, I just didn't hear a lot of people sharing on that kind of stuff. Even everybody would stay quiet, you know? And so I thought, well, I'm not going to share. We're going away. I'm not going to share. But I would feel like, you know, like, why am I not sharing what the Lord has done? Right? I'm not sharing it. And it was like, but I was sharing it at other places too, you know? So, I stayed in Jackie's group for a while and I started doing the homework and I thought, I'm not going to get these answers right. You know, I don't even know how to do this, but I started doing, I would just pray because before you do your homework, right, you pray. And I started filling in the answers. And then when they would go around the room, they'd give the answer and I'd say, yes. Oh my gosh, Lord, you're helping me. I got it right, you know? And I was so excited, you know, I was so excited to come and just, I couldn't get enough of it, okay? I started just coming to Friday to, come on, husband, let's go to the, you know, Monday night couples Bible, married couples Bible fellowship, and just, I just needed to get filled up, you know? And the Lord just gave me that desire, like, to know more about him. You know, I couldn't get enough of him. You know, Wednesday night, my kids to jaywalk, all this stuff. It was just so good, you know, and it hasn't stopped. It's just, it's amazing. And so that was the difference, you know, from back then that I didn't do. And that was the difference in my life today now is that I started coming to church, started going to a Bible study, started reading my Bible, praying, you know, asking other women to pray for me. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, you hear this, that you can't keep it if you don't give it away, right? You know, and so I was like, that was always something that was just told to me, like, you know, you got to go share with others what God has done for you. And, you know, you hear in, I don't know, you hear in the meetings, you know, just like higher power and stuff like that and all that. But it was like, right. And it could be a doorknob. I'm like, really? How's the doorknob going to save me? It's like, no, but it wasn't about just being sober. I didn't want to go to hell. You know, I knew that, like, the only God is Jesus Christ, and he died for me, and he died for my sins. So when I came to church, it was like, just like, how do you say it? Just, you know, completing it for me, like, wow. And till this day, you know, I do help other women that struggle with alcoholism, you know. You call that a sponsor out there, you know, but, you know, just giving back to, and that's where the Lord has me, you know, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing to see because people are lost out there, you know, and when you first start going, you know, to treatment centers, they're going to send them to AA and, you know, NA and all that stuff. And they're barely getting sober. They're gonna grab onto you. And if you're there, you know, for me, because I go there, I'm available to them. you know, and so I'm going to, and I show them, okay, you know, the real God of the Bible, because they're just like, you know, I just don't want to drink. It's like, okay, you know, and, you know, I just, and it's just amazing, you know. There was a time in my life where I thought, like, how am I going to, you know, maybe I shouldn't be going to meetings anymore since I'm going to church now, you know, and I'm going to Bible studies and stuff. And I had to pray because I was really struggling with that. And I had to pray for the Lord just to give me peace and direct me. And I thought, you know, and he did. And he's shown me, because he keeps bringing women in my life, you know, that I'm able to just share with them and help them, and then see them helping others and them coming to church, you know, coming to the Bible study. And it's like, you know, and just being there and encouraging them. It's just wonderful. It's so good. I have a couple of verses that are my favorites, but I wanted to share here tonight, you know, because, I've heard testimonies before of, like, you know, people being on drugs and alcohol and all this, how the Lord saved them. Yes, but over and over and over again. Well, we don't know, like, only God knows, okay, who he's going to, if it's going to be your last time or my last time or whatever, okay? I've had friends that they didn't make it, you know, and they didn't know Jesus, and they died of an overdose of heroin. You know, I had a friend that shot himself, you know. They didn't make it. All my friends that I've had before in my past, I haven't seen them. I don't know where they're at. Some of them are dead, you know. A lot of them are probably in prison. I don't know where they're at, you know, but or they're still out there drinking and you know, using. I don't know. But, you know, just if there's anybody just here tonight, you know, that is struggling, you know, or that is, and it could be anything. It could be anything, you know, because sin is sin, right? And not just really bad people need to be saved. Like, good people too, they need Jesus. I know a lot of good people, and they're not going to heaven because they don't have the Lord, and yet, you know. And we don't know. We don't just, you know, the Lord only knows when it's our time and when. So if you're here tonight, you know, I just wouldn't want you to leave this place without just surrendering, you know, your life and your will over to the Lord, you know. So I want us just to just say this as a group, you know, and then there's going to be ladies here after that will want to pray with you, okay? Pray to strengthen your walk as a Christian. Pray to save you, you know, pray to help you, pray to help your loved ones, whatever. So before I do that, let me just share that there's this a couple of Bible verses, but therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That was one of my favorite Bible verses. When I heard Cheryl up here sharing that kind of stuff, I thought, really? Wow, what else is in here? You know, it's so good. And, you know, this one's Philippians 1:6, right? Because when I would get doubtful, or it says, And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. You know, he's working in us, and he's not finished with us yet. You know, we're still here. There's just still work for us to do, you know. And it could be anything. It could be anything. You know, I remember thinking, how am I going to go help someone if I have only 4 months sober? How am I going to help that person? I don't even know anything. But I knew enough for those 4 months. So I started just reaching out and saying hi, you know, to the person that was one day sober. You know, here's my number. Let's be friends. That's whatever, you know. And wow, it's just Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, He gives us a future and a hope, and, you know, he is our hope. You know, I always get, you know, fear of this, fear of that, fear of, you know, how to parent my kids, fear of everything, fear of coming here and just, you know, sharing. But it says 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And it's that power that raised Jesus from the dead that's in us. As a believer, that power is in us. It helps us every single day when we wake up, you know, to do what we need to do. But it, how do we get to know that, right? It's by coming to the Bible studies, by, you know, doing even just a little bit of the homework, you know? I'm not saying don't do it, but just reading, you know, every day, just reading a little meditation, you know? And I really learned a lot from coming to these Bible studies. I mean, and praying with the ladies afterwards, you know. I would always be the one mom that was out there, you know, late to pick up my kid because I needed prayer, you know. I needed prayer. And so I just want to read this, and we could all just say it together, you know, in our seats just as I read it, okay. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sin and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. You know, if that was your first time or if that was a rededication, you know, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I got, ladies. I just want to thank you for being here.